So Revelation chapter 19, starting at verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small." Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh.
Good morning, all. I'm just going to begin with a prayer. Father God, thank you so much that we can meet here this morning. Thank you for your word that you've given to us. Help us to pay close attention. Help me to explain it faithfully this morning. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the Christchurch South Cams Arm Wrestling Championship. Can I have my two contestants come forward? We have Mr. Nick Silk, Mr. Theo Rapont. If you'd like to come up onto the stage. When I give a count, one, two, three, go, you are to arm wrestle, okay? Okay, one, two, three, go! Well done. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much. Well done. Now, that wasn't a very even contest, was it, if we're honest? Nick was so much stronger. But did you spot an even more uneven contest in our Bible reading we just had? In fact, it's so uneven, there is no contest at all. Two sides get ready for battle, but it's over in a flash. Jesus captures the beast and the false prophet, and that's it. This morning, we're going to see more of who Jesus is and why that matters. So if you can turn back to that passage we had read just a few minutes ago, Revelation 19, page 1248. And if you get that passage open, can anyone spot for me what John does three times in that passage? Between verses 11 and 21, John does something three times, and that comes in verses 11, 17, and 19. Can anyone spot what John does three times? I think Ezra's got one. Tells his name. That's true, but he does something else. Can anyone spot what that is? Yes? He sees. Excellent. John says three times, I saw. Revelation, this book that John has written, contains loads of things or visions that he saw as God showed him what is really going on in the world. And throughout the book, it's like God has opened up a curtain so that John and we, his readers, can see inside. A bit like a curtain that's going to open on there. And in verse 11, John says he saw heaven standing open. Now, as John sees some pretty amazing things, we're going to have our own eyes open wide this morning. And to help us follow what the passage is teaching us, I've got a little phrase that we're going to say together a few times. The phrase is this: grow your vision of Jesus and know that he has won. So could we say it together? Okay, grow your vision of Jesus and know that he has won. Awesome, keep that in mind. So firstly, we need to grow our vision of Jesus. Now, throughout Revelation, Jesus is described in many awesome ways. For example, can anyone remember the two animals that Jesus is pictured as in chapter 5? Both began with the letter L. Can anyone remember those two animals in chapter 5? Yes, I can just see it at the back. Is that a lion and a lamb? Fantastic. Excellent. Well, in verses 11 to 16, John, if you like, gives us kind of a greatest hits, the best bits of the descriptions of Jesus we've seen elsewhere in the book. He reminds us what we've seen. There's just no mistaking, this rider on the horse, this warrior, is Jesus. Often we may simply think of Jesus being, you know, a man teaching by a lake or healing the sick. And yes, of course, the gospel accounts describe it exactly like that, but they are only part of the picture. Jesus rose from the dead and can forgive us our sins because he's awesome. We get to see that here. So how should we grow our vision of Jesus? Let's look at a few of the pictures we see in verses 11 to 16. So firstly, Jesus is described as being faithful and true. Not just a little bit faithful or truthful. He defines these characteristics. So he's totally reliable and he's totally trustworthy. He has done and he will do what he says. So for example, in chapter 2, he said this: be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you life as your victor's crown. That's eternal life. So he promises that to those who trust in him. We see too in that same verse, verse 11, Jesus is the justice warrior. Did you see that? We all want to see justice carried out and wrongs righted. Well, Jesus will do that perfectly. That's what he's doing in this passage. We mustn't think of him simply as a man with some good teaching. He's described here as waging, that means fighting war. In verse 15, it says he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. This is scary stuff, isn't it? But remember, he promises safety for those who are his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Did you see too that he is described as a fiery king? Look at verse 12. What does that say? His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Now, have you ever seen anyone with eyes like that? Blazing fire eyes? We haven't. I imagine you haven't. I certainly haven't. Well, that's how John has already described Jesus in chapter 1. And that same image comes across here too. Indeed, the other descriptions here point us back as well to that same chapter. And these crowns described here, the many crowns, were especially those that a royal person would wear. But did you see, Jesus is not just a king. Verse 16, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So no one or nothing is more important. Is that how you know him? As the King? And finally, we see that he is the Saviour. In verse 13, his robe dripped in blood. Well, that points us to his death on the cross. He died in our place so that those who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Does anybody know what you do with these things? Anyone seen these before? Yes. Exactly. You look through things to see them more clearly and close. What things that are far away appear much closer. You can see them much more clearly. Well, this passage we've just been reading should act as binoculars to help us see who Jesus is more clearly and more closely. You see, if this is who Jesus is, if we grow our vision of him to match the Bible's picture, then actually we're in trouble, aren't we? You see, we don't naturally worship Jesus. We don't give him the honour that he is due. We can't say, look at me, Jesus, I'm awesome. You need me on your team. All we can do is say sorry and ask for forgiveness, which he promises. And in the language of verse 14 of our passage, ask him to give us fine linen, white and clean, to wear. So Emily shared with us earlier, didn't she, about how she came to trust in Jesus for herself. What about you? Will you grow your vision of Jesus to see who he really is and trust in him too? We're going to pause now and we're going to sing a song. So I'll invite the music group to come up to the front. If I was simply giving you my own opinion this morning, well, that would be take it or leave it. You know, why is my opinion better than anybody else's? But in fact, we're reading, and I'm speaking from God's Word, the Bible. God's Word is the power of the universe, and we can hold it in our hands. And that's what this song is about. So, well, can you remember that phrase that we said together earlier? Should we do it again? Grow your vision of Jesus and know that he has won. Awesome. So our first heading was grow your vision of Jesus. And our second is know that Jesus has won. You see, we see in verses 17 to 21 that Jesus has won the battle that's been raging throughout Revelation. And in fact, throughout history. It's a battle between Jesus and the devil, who is attacking God's people. There is one reason, this is one reason why following Jesus can be hard. But these verses show us that if we're in Team Jesus, if we're following him, we're on the winning side. You see, the armies of heaven are with Jesus here. That's clear in verses 14 and 19. But they're basically spectators. He's the one doing the winning. So let's have a closer look at the battle. First up, the opposition looks impressive. There's a beast, there's kings and armies. We see that in verse 19. And their tactics were to deceive. That's what that word delude means. To deceive, to trick, so that people would worship them instead of worshiping God. And many were conned. We've been thinking about that these past couple of weeks. They've seemed powerful throughout Revelation. We've seen pictures of dragons and serpents and cities. So the opposition looks impressive. But yet, Jesus' victory is completely clear. So we see in verse 20 that they were captured. That means taken or controlled. There's no contest here. Think about the arm wrestle we had before between Nick and Theo. it's even more decisive than that. There is no contest. The beast and the false prophet are destroyed, it says, thrown into that fiery lake of sulfur. And we'll see Satan's final defeat explained further in chapter 20 next week. And the rest were killed, it says here. No one stood a chance in this battle. These are the people described in verse 18, those who worship the beast and not God. It's a gruesome picture for those not on Team Jesus. And that sharp sword that he is using, that's a way of explaining his word. That's how powerful his word is. We've been thinking about his word in that last song as well. Well, the other prop I brought along today was this balloon. Now, if I have this balloon, and I've got a pin here, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen if I put the pin in? What do you reckon? It's going to pop, isn't it? Whoa! It's obvious, isn't it? It's going to pop. We all knew what was going to happen then. You see, there was only one outcome when the balloon met the pin. It was inevitable. Well, just as we can know that when a balloon meets a sharp object like that pin, we can know that Jesus has won this battle. It's totally guaranteed. He's in control. He has won. So will you live like that is the case? When do you need to know most that Jesus has won? Maybe it's when you face injustice and unfair pressure in the workplace. Maybe it's when following Jesus seems so hard that you want to give up. Well, let's together know that Jesus has won. It's very clear in this passage. And in today's reading from Revelation, we've seen more spectacular pictures. And there are a lot to take in, aren't there? A lot of images to take in. It's kind of mind-blowing. But let's hold on to what they tell us about Jesus. Even more so than that arm wrestling contest which we began, it's no contest as Jesus, the all-powerful horse rider, that warrior, completes victory over the beast and the false prophet. It's no contest. It's very clear here. So let's end with that phrase we've been learning. Ready to say it one more time? Grow your vision of Jesus and know that he has won. I'm just going to close with a prayer, and then there'll be a chance for any comments and encouragements and questions. Father God, thank you that Jesus has won the victory. It's very clear, and that we can trust in him. Amen. Amen. So yeah, if anybody would like to make a comment or an encouragement or a question, there's a microphone hopefully available to go round. So would anybody like to do that? Excellent. I think Theo at the back has got one. Excellent. Brilliant.
How can Jesus grow you with his spirit?
How can Jesus... Didn't hear the last bit?
Grow you. I think he means develop you.
Provoke, sorry. Develop. Develop. Oh, grow you. Sorry, so I'm with you, yeah. How can Jesus grow you with his spirit? How can he develop you with his spirit? Well, do you know, the Bible describes that every single Christian is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is living inside us. That's a promise that we're given. We've been thinking about that as Emily was baptized this morning. And through living in us, he helps us to become more and more like Jesus. So that the things that I don't want to do naturally, he helps me to do. So that in the Bible, it talks about fruit of the Spirit. These are good qualities that the Spirit is able to work in us. Not because we're naturally gentle or have self-control and kindness, but the Spirit is able to work in us to make us more like Jesus. So that's a lifelong process for Christians. Thank you, that's a great question. Lauren, you got one as well?
sorry about that. So you said that we need to know that Jesus has won. And I think I know what he's going to win over in the future. But what is he winning over right now? Because my temptation is, oh, I'm having struggles at work. Jesus has won over that person at work who's really annoying me. Is that how to apply it, or how should we view that?
I think the encouragement we can have is that Jesus' victory means there'll be a time when he returns and there won't be any more injustice or pain or suffering. That's, in fact, how Revelation ends. We'll see in a couple of weeks an amazing chapter in 21 that talks about that. But I think we need to be careful about saying, of taking that kind of like in a personal vengeance sort of way. Oh, this person who's annoying me is gonna get it. That's not the way. That's not the image of the passage. So it's Jesus' victory over all sin and evil. That's the big picture. That's what he's won. And so I can. This is in this passage here. It describes it as being in already happened. Even though I'm looking ahead to it, it's so secure. It's already happened. Thank you.